us. It's not about our willpower for more of you, Lord God. It's something that you set off in us. And so we pray now, by your grace and in your mercy and the power of your indwelling Holy Spirit, that you'd set that spark going, that we might have more of you, Father. That is indeed the desire of our hearts. So thank you for your presence with us. Thank you for the promise, Lord God, that you have heard our prayers. And we do pray for more of you now, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hi, everybody. Thanks, Chris, Hannah, Ruth. Jeremy's away this week. And he's, as we speak, he's jetting down. Am I echoing, Cliff? Do you want me to go somewhere? I am echoing. Me? Jeremy's on a plane to Africa. He's taking a wedding. And so, you know, he's a bit of a jet setter, our Jeremy. And I think he's, you know, sort of a flying visit. He's going to be back before we know it. But isn't it fortunate that you're stuck with me today? And you're thinking, I could be out in the sunshine, but you're here with me. So thank you for being here. I don't know if any of you were at the service yesterday, but if you were, you'll know that we're starting out sort of a new theme for the term, looking at the letter of James, and the theme is making a difference for God. Okay, so I want you to keep that in mind as we go along. If you want to join me for the first reading, it's on page 1148. It's James 3, verses 1 to 6, page 1148. James writes, "Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers and sisters, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Those who are never at fault in what they say are perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships, for example. Although they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person. It sets the whole course of one's life on fire and is itself set on fire by hell." Well, how many of you guys like to talk? Or is it just me? I don't mean talk publicly. I mean, do you like to talk? Good talkers, yes, sort of. I have to say that I am, some of you know me, I am a bit of a great talker. That has its pluses and its minuses. Now, one of the minuses is dinner parties. Because I am forever being stuck, placed between the two awkward ones that have nothing to say. And they're always saying, well, James, you know, he's a great conversationalist. He'll know what to say, as if I really enjoy this, right? So I'm sitting between those two, and if I don't say anything, there is this awkward, stunned silence, okay? And I don't like that, so I feel I need to fill this empty space. I need to keep talking. And that's when I find that, you know, I'm not really thinking before I speak. And as a result, I think I am often as surprised by what comes out of my mouth as everyone else is, you know? And that can be a problem because it can start to creep into my sort of non-dinner party life, this problem of not thinking before I speak. And I have to confess, guys, I think, hi, Charmaine. I think... Oh, you did. Thank you, Charmaine. I was about to come on to the bit about you. No, I'm kidding. I have to say, if there were an owner's manual for my gob, okay, I'm sure that it would definitely have instructions along these lines. It would probably say something like, first, engage brain. Only after brain is fully engaged, cautiously open mouth. Warning, failure to follow this procedure may result in serious backfire. And I have to say that I was taken by a quote from Thomas Edison, you know, the guy who invented the light bulb and, I don't know, thousands of other things. He said, "You will have many opportunities in life to keep your mouth shut. You should take advantage of every one of them. And so when I read this passage today, and I was preparing this for this passage from James, you know, I felt like, gosh, this has got my name all over it. And I don't mean just because my name is James, but it's about the dangers of the tongue. And man, don't I know it. If I look at, you know, verse 5 there, this is me. Over the years, I have metaphorically burned down, I mean, literally millions of acres of timber. And I have to say, guys, for me, that's saying quite something, because I come from the land that gave the world Smokey the Bear. Does anyone know who Smokey the Bear is? So I'm saying we gave you the Smokey. Okay, well, Salias, of course, you would know. But Smokey the Bear, right, was a talking bear, wore a ranger's hat, and he spent the whole time warning us of the dangers of forest fires. And so despite all that, here I am, you know, metaphorically still playing with matches. That's not to say that I'm always putting my foot in my mouth. Sometimes I actually put both feet in. And as I was preparing this talk, I am not kidding, I was visualizing, I was thinking of so many of you, and I was thinking, God, this is going to go right past most people. It doesn't apply to them. I mean, they don't suffer from foot and mouth disease like I do. And they're going to be thinking, this passage doesn't really apply. Let's be honest. How many of you are sort of thinking, well, this is very interesting, but I don't really have a problem with my tongue? You can be honest. Okay, you're not being honest. Okay, Allison, good. I'm glad to see that you waved. And the thing is, a lot of us might be thinking, you know, I wish my husband were here. Boy, this really applies to him. Or, oh my gosh, if my sister-in-law could have heard that. And we think it doesn't really apply to us. But then I was remembering that the Bible tells us, doesn't it? It says that all Scripture is God-breathed. And what else? It's useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting. And so I'm going to do that now, okay, in the hopes that I can make you all feel really bad about yourselves. Does that sound like a good idea? Yeah, you're pretty pumped about that. So look again with me at verse 2. James says, we all stumble. Sometimes that's translated, we all slip up. We all do. Now maybe unlike me, you don't speak words of anger. You don't say things that are perhaps inappropriate or ill-judged. But let me ask you something. Have you ever said anything that was, say, sort of proud or boastful? Have you ever said anything that was maybe slightly self-exaggerating or self-serving? Have you ever sort of not maliciously maybe passed on a little bit of gossip about somebody? Have you ever spoken words to your children or your spouse or to friends that maybe might have made them feel guilty about something or ashamed of something or perhaps criticized? And here's one for you. How about this one? Have you ever spoken to someone words of doubt? You know, I'm not sure we even begin to realize how damaging it can be to someone when we speak words of doubt over them or their ideas or their plans. James writes, anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect. So the question is that you? Is that me? Are we in fact perfect? So I hope you're all feeling awful. Did it work? Okay, fantastic. Now remember though, what I said though, the overarching theme of this series, right, was making a difference for God. The theme isn't feel awful about yourself for God, because that's really not going to get us anywhere. And so if we're going to make a difference, right, if we're going to make a difference for God, then I think we'd all agree we all need to become more Christ-like, don't we? I mean, who doesn't want to become a more perfect follower of Jesus? And what I think James is saying in this passage is that if you want your whole self to become more like Jesus, that is, you know, not only what you say, but the way that you act, the way that you feel, the way that you think, if you want your whole being to become more Christ-like, if you want that transformation process to begin, a good place to start is with the tongue. James says, think of a mighty ship. You know, think of it. The vessel, the body, this huge ship, and a big one with wind in the sails, so much power in that. And he says, yet despite that, In the control of a skilled captain, a very small rudder can steer the course of the whole vessel. And he says, look, the tongue's like that, isn't it? It controls the whole vessel. It controls the whole person. It's only small, but it controls so much. And it seems, truly, if we do want to become more like Jesus, we need to become skilled at controlling and steering our tongues. So how do we do it? Well, lots of times I've thought, why don't I follow Thomas Edison's advice and just keep my mouth shut? And you know, there's that expression, a closed mouth gathers no foot. But is that really the answer? I mean, is James here really saying the answer is to shut up, not say anything? I don't think that's it at all. He's warning us, isn't he, to be alert, to be on our guard, to be aware of the power of the tongue, and to be aware of situations where we might slip up in what we say. And as we're going to see next week, James goes on to say that out of the mouths that we speak, this very same mouths, we have the power not only to praise and to bless, but to curse. If we stay silent, maybe we're not going to burn any forests down. We're not going to say anything hurtful. But if we stay silent, neither are we going to have words of grace and encouragement. And Jesus himself said, the things that come out of a person's mouth, they come from the heart. And don't we all want to have a heart like Jesus, a heart like Christ? So let's pray that God would protect us and guard our hearts. Let's pray, too, that he would really keep us alert to the times when we're likely to slip up and to say something that we really don't need to say. Let me conclude with just this. In his letter to the Philippians, Paul writes these wonderful words. You'll be familiar with them, but just focus on this. Paul says, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. These are the things I want to store up in my heart. And these then are the good things that I want to guide the words that come from my mouth. Amen? Thank you, everybody.